Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's such a tough act to follow. Should have put you guys at the end. Thank you, Jesus. We're so thankful for our children. They're such a blessing to us. As my wife mentioned, this is our moving up Sunday. If the back room fills up, our nursery downstairs is also open. Feel free to occupy that as well for the really little ones. Appreciate your patience this morning and your grace. Welcome again to Kingsfire Church. I'm Pastor Chris. That was my wife, Carrie. There's always some new faces here, so we're glad to have you. Welcome. And we're thankful and honored to be able to serve downstairs in the Sunday school. It's a privilege. It's an honor. We understand that you're trusting us with your children for a short time, but nonetheless, it's an important time. And in a day and age where many parents are not trusting their children to the natural school system, we understand what a privilege it is that you trust us with them for a time downstairs on a Sunday morning and to be interacting with them somewhat also throughout the week and with the parents throughout the week. So we want to honor you and thank you for that. It's a blessing. We thank you for our staff. We're continually growing, but there's been staff with us who have been with us for probably 5, 8 years who have just always served, have just served as long as I've known them. And I don't want to name names. I don't want to leave anyone out. But we're so blessed by the staff that we have. We couldn't do everything that we do without them. So it's wonderful. And I'm not going to take an offering in the natural this morning monetarily. But we do have, I'll just throw this out there since I have the microphone. We could use definitely more staff. We want to expand to split up our classrooms. The preschool age is very full. There's probably 15 to 20 kids in there on a Sunday. You want to split that up. So we can also split up our older kids, too, to have two different classes on a Sunday morning so we can have, you know how it is when 15, 20 kids, 30 kids get into one room. It's not always easy to keep focus and keep distractions from happening. So I'll just put out there as an offering for people. And we're not going to necessarily take everyone who raises their hand or talks to me later, but we do have newcomers, thank goodness, that are going to be joining us in the next few weeks. We could use 6 more teachers in the older Sunday school. That's 6 years old to around 11, if that age suits you. And we also could use about, what do we have, 8 more teachers for the preschool. That's 3 to 5. So I'm just putting that out there. If you want to talk to me or my wife afterwards, we can see if you're going to be a good fit for one of those and see where you might fit in with us. Amen. So I just wanted to just share quickly before we get into some of this, but what we're doing downstairs, hopefully, and I know for many families, is just a small extension of what you're already doing at home. We don't take on the full responsibility of teaching them everything that they need to know in their walk with Christ for, 45 minutes on a Sunday. It's just not enough. But hopefully it's a celebration, in addition, an extension of what you're already doing at home Monday through Saturday. Amen? I can tell by some of the answers the kids have to the questions that we ask, that's already happening. And praise God for that. We're thankful for that because we're not meant to be the end-all, be-all. We're just a sprinkle on top, so to speak. And just like a Sunday morning is for our congregation to celebrate, our church to celebrate the goodness of God, same thing downstairs. Pastor Josh and I don't expect that you're going to be able to get a hold of everything that you need from God within an hour on Sunday morning. So you should be worshiping on your own. You should be praying on your own, getting in the word on your own. The same is for our children. Hopefully you're leading them that way throughout the week in your homes. Amen? So that being said, there's just a word that I had in my heart when I knew that I was going to be sharing on this. And the title of this short word is being early. That's just the word that kept coming to my spirit in the past few weeks. Just thinking that there's really no situation where being early is not a good thing. And the natural, if you think about it. Early to rise in the morning, we could go to many scriptures about that, actually, that's in the word. But even people in the natural who have no affiliation with faith, most of them agree getting up early on, a weekly basis is a good thing. If you get up at 5, which I've come into practice in my older years, it's a powerful time to spend time with God, to spend time on other things that you might not have a chance to do when everyone else is sleeping and all the world is quiet, so to speak. You can get a lot done in those early hours. Leaving early for work, you beat traffic, leaving early for a vacation, you want to beat traffic, you want to get out there on the road early. How many dads, come on, that's a dad thing to do that, to get out there, cars packed the night before, you're ready to roll, you're trying to get everybody up, right? Dads always want to leave early and get things out there. Being early to appointments, I guess you could say, although no one wants to get to the dentist too early or to the doctor, you know, that's probably not a good thing, but you know you're going to be sitting there waiting for extra time, but nonetheless, you don't want to be late and have your appointment get swapped with somebody else, or you get charged for being late these days. Something crazy like that happens. Early to the airport, praise God, you got to do that. You don't want to miss your flight. You don't want to miss the long lines at security to check in. Early to church, right? Come on, folks. If you're early to church, come for that 9 o'clock set of classes. You can join with Pastor Rich up here, Pastor David downstairs, or I'm going to plug my own class now for a Discovery class. Praise God, we're starting small, but if you want to join Discovery, you're new here, new to the church, been coming for a while, you want to get to know us, come downstairs at 9 o'clock. There's a sign-up form at the back. You can sign up. You get a bagel and coffee afterwards. You get first dibs on those. You get a seat up here. Come on, you know what happens if you come in late up here. You're struggling to find a seat now. Praise God. How about this? If you're early to adopt various technology, how many had, I guess if you're a certain age, maybe this was you, you were early to adopt computers back in the 90s. You had a desktop that still had a modem where you could hear the dial-up and the whirring and the whooshing of the modem, right? If you're one of those early people, it's probably paid off later in life that you can deal with technology now, that you weren't late to it, right? Praise God, my parents were like that. If you were early to buy stuff online, now it's normal practice. Back then, everyone was nervous about putting in their info online. If you're early to invest in some of these early companies, come on, how many people you see articles out there? If you had invested $1,000, $5,000 into IBM or Intel back in the day, or even Facebook, Netflix, how wealthy you'd be now, right? If you had been early to those stocks when they were just in the single digits. We all think about that stuff. If anybody knows what the next one is for this current time period, please, you can talk to me afterwards. I'd love to know what that is so we can get a new building going up there on the hill. Praise God. And so there's so many situations. If you're even early to working at one of these, you know, tech startups like Facebook, Uber, Airbnb, and you got some early stock options of those are some of the people who are most successful just because they happen to be early to one of those. What our children have is time wealth. They're time billionaires. Is a term I recently heard. They're literally time billionaires, all these kids up here. You know the difference is between, there's such a chasm between millions and billions. A million seconds is 11 days, approximately. Someone figured this out, not me, praise God. I don't do public math. But a billion seconds is 31 years, or thereabouts. Look at that difference, 11 days to 31 years. These kids are time billionaires. Time is on their side. And so if it's good to be early with things in the natural, how much more to be early in the faith, early to your relationship with Christ, early to understand the word, early to be saved, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. How much more to be that kind of early, if being early in the natural is a good thing? I feel like God is so impressed when youngsters come to him early and early on in life. Nothing wrong with coming to God late in life either. He takes all of us. He takes all kinds. But I'm saying if you can start off life in the church, in the faith, in relationship with him, you're just set on a different path. How many would agree with that? Come on, those of us who've been around for a while. It's a powerful thing. And so there's so much more we could say about being early. There's endless scriptures about being early. There's plenty of stories about children in the Word. But I just want to let you know about one of those stories. And one of our main goals just as a Sunday school is that from preschool, or actually from nursery through the end of Sunday school, that by the time they get to Bob and Esther Iannusso and the youth, they would be saved, water baptized, have the opportunity to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, which they have, and have a real clear understanding of what the word is from Genesis to Revelation, so they can be on to the next place. And that has happened for many of them here this morning who are going to move on It's an awesome thing. And so we also probably would add into that going into a new season of that they're also serving in some aspect in the church by the time that ending comes. And some already are. They serve in our projection and our sound team, our media team up there. And there's some who serve already in the nursery downstairs and our preschool. There's many different ways that they can serve. You know, one of the things our church is big on is that no one's ever too young to start anything. Pastor Vaughn used to say, right, if you've been saved for 30 seconds, start whatever you want. Start in the ministry. Serve somewhere, right? You know more than the next person who has no idea who Jesus is. So why not start now? Amen? So just someone who is a kid, the Jewish faith, Old Testament, is filled. Life started much earlier back then. Jewish kids were married, you know, 12 to 14 years old. Life started for them. It was a different time. But there's a passage in 2 Kings where a little girl just made a difference in a big way in a king's life. I just want to highlight that this morning. 2 Kings 5 says this. Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier. Here's a but he had leprosy. Now bands of raiders from Aram had gone about and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, if only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of this leprosy. So Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. By all means, go, the king of Aram replied. I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So Naaman left, taking him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, with this letter I am sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy. As soon as the king of Israel read this letter, he tore his robes and said, am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me and be cured of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me? When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent this message. Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman went to with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. He goes on to tell him to wash 7 times in the Jordan, and he ends up being cleansed. All started because there was a little servant girl, a child, who knew that there was someone that could take care of this little leprosy problem. And what influence she must have had, or she must have had some look or just the glory on her for them to take her seriously. And I feel like that's something for our kids, that as they speak to people, it wasn't that she prayed for him to be cured, but she knew where to send them, where to go. And maybe if our kids aren't in a place yet to pray for strangers, and that should be watched carefully probably by parents, but maybe they can just be that light that shows someone, hey, I know somebody who can fix that. His name is Jesus, or maybe his name is your pastor, or whatever, fill in the blank, your parent. And just to have that boldness and have that authority as a child, we all have it. And it's an awesome thing. You know, we're all students, right? We're all students of the word. There's never an end to it. But as we drove into church this morning, we were behind. You know, when you're falling behind, there's always, when you're running late, there's always someone in front of you, so it seems. It's one of those commercial driving trucks. Of course, you see about, praise God, someone's driving to get their commercial license in this day and age. Thank God someone wants to take a blue-collar job. But, you know, it's a student driver on the back, and they're taking their time down King's Highway at like 30, 40 when it's much faster than that. But we all have that label. We're all students, but it doesn't mean that you're not on the road, that you're not out there doing the stuff. This guy's just out there on the road. And our kids, they're going to be released too to do the same thing. They're out in our schools, they're out in our community, at sports, and they're just going to be a light to our community, to our kingdom, drawing those to him. Amen? So I'm going to invite my wife to come up. She's going to name names of those. We're going to start with our preschool kids, those who are moving up from preschool to the big leagues of Sunday school. Thank you, Jesus.
All right, so we're going to start off with our six-year-olds, those who are with your families. If you would like to, parents can join the six-year-olds, but we have Willow Iannuso, we have Luke Gerald. Where are you guys? Awesome. And then Michael Albano. There he is. And if there's any other newer six-year-olds, I know there's some older six-year-olds that have already moved up, but we've been trying to keep track of everyone. Come on over this way, Willow, okay? Yeah, awesome. So we just wanted to acknowledge them. These guys, they've been awesome in the preschool classroom. And like Pastor Chris was saying a little bit ago, sometimes there's 15 kids in that classroom, and 15 kids from ages 3 to 5, and we had them, these six-year-olds, they've already turned 6 over the summer. So for them to be in that classroom and really pay attention, they were the ones really wanting to do all the activities. They're the ones really taking care. Even some of them, because they're such great mothers, are trying to take care of the young three-year-olds as well. So it's time for them to move up into the next level of their discipleship. And that comes with the young classrooms that are down the education wing. And as just a symbol and just even a gift for them as they move up, we're presenting them today with their own Bible. And the reason why we do this is we always have Bibles on hand in the Edwing classroom to bring out, just in case, obviously, if the children happen to forget their Bibles at home. But we also want those to that come to our church and guess, even if it's one day and they never come back, we always ask, do you have a Bible at home? Oh, you don't? Here, take this home. We write their name in it, when they received it, who it's from, Kingsfire Kids. And they go home and we ask them, if you come back, bring it back. Because we want each and every one of the children that travel on through all of the classrooms in the Sunday school to know how to navigate the Bible. It happens in the preschool even. We open the Bible to the specific chapter that of the story that we're talking about. Because we want them to know that this isn't just a fairy tale story that we're teaching you. We do that in school, right? We refer to fairy tales quite often. But we want to make sure that they see this book, it's real. We open the chapter, we go to the verse, and this is what Jesus said when he said it. This is who was around him. And so they know from very little age, I can find that story in the Bible. I can go back to it. And so even though these are only six-year-olds and they're just now beginning to read, they're still going to learn, okay, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, we need to get to the book of Acts. It comes right after. So if you've gotten to John, just go a little bit further. What does it start with? It starts with the letter J. Let's see if we can find it together. Or if you want to go by numbers, obviously you guys know, you go by page numbers. And then we talk about the big numbers and the little numbers. But the thing is that when they leave us and move on to Esther and Bob, we want them to have that understanding of how to go through the Bible. So the first top three, if you open, I already pre-wrote their names. Second page. So we use the Gospel Project as our curriculum, and the Bibles that come along with that are the Adventure Bibles. And so this is one that will, there you go, darling. Yes, awesome. So we're just going to pray for them this morning. And before they go back to their seats. So if you would like to extend a hand of blessing towards them and just join with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for each and every one of these young people. We thank you for Willow, God. We thank you for all that you've instilled in her. We thank you for the light that shines in her. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that she is so precious in your sight. We thank you, Lord, that your glory is filling her even now. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are going to use this child so mightily, so mightily. We thank you for it. God, we thank you for Luke. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that he is strong, that he is able. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that the words that come from his mouth will be pleasing in your sight. We thank you, Lord, for his heart for all of his friends and his family, Lord, that you would just continue to give him increase. and understanding, that he would yearn for the knowledge and wisdom only you can give. And Heavenly Father, we just thank you once again. God, we thank you, Lord, for Michael. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that he has come to this church, Heavenly Father, with his family, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, that you are blessing him and his family. We thank you, Lord, that even he, at 6 years old, you know that you are giving him all that he needs. The words to say, that you would be speaking to him in the evening and in the morning when he rises and telling him how much he is loved and how much he is seen. God, you see him. Thank you, God. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We give you all glory and honor and praise, Heavenly Father, for these six-year-olds as they're moving up, God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, and we bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Wasn't expecting to cry. Okay. Thank you, Lord. So I was just really itching, and actually my feet were burning during worship. So I just needed to share this with you because it's a verse that I wrote in a oh, thanks, darling. Thank you. So as I was preparing for the sixth graders last night, a verse came specifically for one of the sixth graders, and I wrote it in their little note in their journal. But as we were worshiping this morning, the Lord just impressed upon me once again that it is a verse for the entire congregation, and is how beautiful are the feet. Ah, how beautiful are the feet. And he just brought to mind little baby feet, and then he brought to mind dirty feet. He brought to mind all the different types of feet, young and old, that are walking up the mountain with the gospel. Woo! How beautiful are the feet. Especially when it comes to the song History Maker. Running into our Father's arms. But also the fact that each and every one of the children that have walked into this church building, their feet are beautiful because not only of what God has instilled in them, but because as they're walking through this life, they have something to give and they have a message to give. And that is the gospel, the good news, right, kids? The good news that Jesus came. How beautiful are your feet, because you carry with you every place you go. Every place you go, right, Hunter? Every place you go. Every place you go, him with you. Ooh, so with that being said, I'd like to invite the sixth graders that have just newly moved up to the youth. So that would be Ashley Malik. Come on up. Finley Iannuso. Juliana. There you are. Lara. Is she here? Lara and Gianna. David, I know you're in front. Is Matthew here today as well? Yes, where's Matthew? Did I get them all? One, two, three, four. I feel like there's one missing. But if I looked at the journals, then I would remember. But these are our sixth graders. And beyond, right? I like to think that Gianna stuck around because she liked Pastor Chris and I so much. It had nothing to do with her sister. So these are the ones moving up to the youth. And we wanted to celebrate them. We want to consider this a promotion. They're moving into the next level of discipleship with, what's that? Ryan, I knew there was one. Ryan, there you are. Oh, sorry, bud. Come on up, bud. I do have a journal for you. I should have just been looking. Here, let's just pass them out now. Because there's a little note in the front cover of these journals, and they're specifically for each and every one of you, but I just wanted to, as we present these journals to you, to encourage you to write in them this year. One of my favorite things in having moved in July is my children finding journals from when I was younger. And realizing, dear goodness, I've had these journals for a really long time. And they've, of course, they're not diaries by any means, but they were prayers that I had to the Lord all those years ago. They were scriptures that I wrote down because I wanted to remember and never forget. They were just simple thoughts that the Holy Spirit had been impressing on me all these years. I got everyone, right? Yes. Okay. But we wanted to not like take up this whole time with just what we had to say. We had asked when we told them last week, or reminded them because we had told the parents about moving up Sunday, that we wanted to give space and time for any of them that wanted to share something. And a few of them have come prepared to share a brief word, whether it's a scripture or just a memory or a testimony. So I'm just going to pass the microphone off. And the first one, I think I'm going to go with Gianna.
I want to share an inspirational Bible verse that is my favorite. It's Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future.
Awesome. She is a powerhouse, by the way. And you're in eighth grade now, right? She stayed an extra 2 years, guys. Come on. All right, and Lara, her sister, is coming up now.
I wanted to do a verse that I learned in Sunday school, and it's 2 Peter 1:3. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness.
Amen. Awesome job, honey. And then Finley.
This is also a Bible verse I learned a long time ago. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me by the still waters, he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, for I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalms 23.
Awesome. When Finley told me she was going to use that verse, I wasn't flabbergasted. That's the word that came to mind. But that was a verse that they learned like 5-6 years ago. But it's still a Sunday school verse, and she holds it dear. And that's something that we want to make sure that they remember the scriptures, right? They get into the head so they come to know in the heart what they mean. I do want to invite Bob and Esther to come on up. Sixth graders, you guys just have a seat for a minute. Pastor Bob and Esther have something to share.
Bob and Esther are our youth leaders, and we just wanted them to share a bit about where our sixth graders who are moving on, where exactly they're moving on to, and what it is they're going to. So, sixth graders, you should turn around and listen up.
Bob said I'm going first, so. there's been something that's been on my heart, and I wrote some notes on my phone, but it's been a privilege to take over youth group, passed on from Norman and Adele, wherever you guys are. But we have loved it, and getting to know you guys as senior high and junior high and the new junior hires. We're very excited to get to know you guys as well. But to speak to you guys as the congregation, just real quick, let me pull up my notes. Something that has been on my heart heavily for probably 2 or 3 years is that there is a voice. There's a voice out there that is loud, it's obnoxious, it's brazen, it's completely in your face at all times, and it tells you that it's the only voice out there. But we know it's not. We know it's not. But it's in stores. It's on, you know, Disney Plus now. It's in on websites when they might be looking for something that they're trying to shop for. It's everywhere, and it has an agenda, and it is opposite the voice that we know, because there is that other voice. Sometimes the next generation doesn't even know it exists because it is so loud and in your face, and they hear it at school, or like I said, everywhere they look, this voice is there, and it's prominent, and it's almost like you don't get an option to think a different way. But we are here to say, you guys are here to say, there is another voice. And that voice, yeah. That voice is the truth, and the truth we have right here. And you guys have it as newly turned six-year-olds. You guys have it as sixth graders. You will come to know that this voice is a voice with freedom, and it gives you liberty. It's pure love. It's not a watered-down version of tolerance. It's pure, deep love, and that's the voice of truth. It cuts through the lies. It cuts through the garbage that's coming after our kids, after our next generation, and they need to hear it. And then that's where you guys come in. We have to proclaim the truth. This congregation has a purpose. We are not just here to meet together on Sunday, but we're here with purpose. And that starts when we do our baby dedications. So many of us have had baby dedications here, and we stand up here, we dedicate our babies before the Lord, and you guys all have a chance to respond and say you will play a part in holding our family accountable and those kids to the word of truth. And that doesn't stop because they're growing, that only intensifies. And so that is the purpose that we have as the congregation. A book I was just read, was talking how the best teacher is imitation. And so our kids are looking up to us as parents, and you guys as our parents' friends and the congregation, the church, and they're imitating us. And they're learning from what we're doing, what our lives are portraying, and they're imitating it. Most kids' toys in the store are tools adults have in a little cutesy version. Like Willow just got a cash register. She loves playing with it. It's just an adult version of a tool that she's using to imitate checking out. They're imitating what we do. And the Bible tells us, Paul tells us in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1 says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And that's what we need to do as our congregation here. We are not interested in childcare, babysitting. That's not what this is. If that's what our time is being used for, it's a waste of time. We are discipling here, and that's what we want you guys to help see too, is that we can all be imitators of Christ because they're imitating us.
So I just want to hop off of what Esther was saying and then also what Pastor Chris was saying about the reality of time, and how Pastor Chris was talking about how these kids in front of us are billionaires when it comes to time, but there's also the reality that every moment spent is so important, right? So like Esther was just saying that we're not interested in childcare, right? We're interested in, we've told the parents that have come to meetings with us before, we tell the kids, you know, all the time, if not every Sunday, that we're not here to be your parents. We're not here to take your parents' job away from them, but we are your coaches, and that's what we want to be throughout this time that we have to spend with you. You know, like I remember some of my coaches when I played baseball or I swam, and I could only ever go as far as I would listen to what they had to say and push myself to the next place, right? It was a coach's whole job is to see the potential that's in you and call it up out of you, right? And to set you up with drills of like, okay, if you want to get here, then this is what you need to do. But they can't force you to work out. They can't force you to go home and work out. They can't force feed you what you're supposed to be eating, right? But they can point you in the right direction that, okay, if you want to get here, this is what you need to do, right? And you would always see it, talent only gets you so far, right? And you would see it in the kids that I would play with, the kids that were actually applying themselves to what their coaches were saying, right? And one of the things that we've been talking about since the very first day that we took over doing the youth was talking about identity and how that's the biggest thing that's trying to be skewed in our children is their identity of who they are. And they get to decide now who they are, right? But that's not true. We know what the truth says. I was up there, and I was afraid I was just going to start bawling. That's why I had Esther go first, because I'm a big softie at heart. But I was up there, and my kids make fun of me all the time. They're like, Dad, are you going to cry because we're singing a song today? Like, it's not the fact that you're my kid singing the song that makes me cry. It's what you're up here proclaiming. I know the truth. Those chains fell at my feet. Those chains fell at my feet. The things that were once binding are now at my feet because I know the truth. So as we move forward with discipleship, I think it's amazing that Chris and Carrie are working with our kids at such a young age of even opening up the Bible and finding, okay, let's find where Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It seems small to us, right? It seems like, oh, okay, cool, that's great. But I think of it as a GPS, turning on the GPS. You don't know where to go unless you input the coordinates, right? When we used to teach in Sunday school, that's one of the things that we would always say is like, if you don't know the destination that you're inputting, how are you going to get there? And for us, when we think about the Bible, we know that this is the truth. We know that everything that you need to know about life and where you need to go is in this book, right? The truth will set you free. Knowing the truth will set you free. And I know I've said it here before, but knowing has a very, there's kids in the room, so I'll try to be careful here, but knowing the truth, when the Bible talks about knowing, it's talking about intimacy, right? It's talking about when a man knew a woman. We all know what that meant in the Old Testament, right? Throughout the Bible, too. And she was known by him, right? And then it says, I will know the truth. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's not a casual relationship, right? And that's what we've been speaking with the youth about. That's what we speak with our own children about, is about knowing the truth so that the truth can set you free. Knowing what's in here is more important than anything else that we can be taught in our lives. And one of the things that we implemented almost immediately was a reading program to read through the Bible in a year. And it sounds like a daunting task, but I remember I was talking with a friend of mine that I used to work with, and we were, you know, just casual conversation at work, and they were saying, did you know, let's see if anyone does know, do you know how quickly you can listen to the Bible in an audio Bible? Does anybody have any idea how quickly you can go from cover to cover? It's actually 48 hours you can listen to the entire Bible. 48 hours, that's a little bit longer than one full work week. You can have all of this inputted in your head. And that, to me, was like, it was like a kick in the stomach, because how many of us have gone through our entire Christian life and maybe read the Bible once, or maybe we just go to the scriptures that we hear on a Sunday, or maybe we have our favorite scripture, but how many of us have read this thing cover to cover multiple times? So we have a couple here that have read through, But that's one of the things that we wanted to implement at the very first, the very beginning of, you need to know the truth. It has to be an intimate relationship that you have with the truth and who wrote the book, because that's what's going to be able to give you peace when life brings its storms, right? So we implemented this reading program. It's and I'd love for as many people that want to do it can do it with us. We're encouraging all family members to be a part of this as we read through. It's just amazing some of the stories that we're hearing from some of the youth that are doing this program of just, instead of having conversations around the dinner table, I can only speak from my own experience with my own family right now, but the conversations that we're having around the dinner table where we're talking about the Word of God, about even something crazy of like, okay, in Leviticus, did you know that you were going to get set outside the camp if you had a sore that had white hair in it, but if it didn't have white hair in it, that was okay? Like, we're talking about stuff like that. That's like, we could be talking about something random, but we're talking about the Word of God. And all throughout Leviticus, all the laws that the Lord implemented, the one thing that stuck out to me, and I'll always say it, is at the end of every single law, it was, I am the Lord. I'm the Lord, that's why. I didn't ask you your opinion. I said, this is what you do, and I'm the Lord. And like, that to me was the most powerful part of that whole book. But actually this morning, it was cool, not to brag on my own kids again, but Liam came up to me and he goes, Dad, did you know that there was a guy in the Bible that when they threw his body in the tomb, it hit Elisha's bones and he came back to life? And I was like, yeah, I did know that. But it just, to me, that is showing the power that's in this word, right? I remember just another quick story of when I was in Africa. One of the things that we were talking about, I did advanced missions training years and years ago, and one of the things that they talked about in world studies was that story and how it still has weight today, where they'll actually bury missionaries or pastors in concrete when they die, because the witch doctors know the power that's in the bones of those people, where they'll actually go and rob the grave and take those bones because of the power that's in them. And that's a story that came to mind when Liam was talking to me about that today. And I know I'm kind of rambling on. I can't stress enough the importance of what we're all doing. I'm not talking about Chris and Carrie or me and Esther. I'm talking about every single person in this room that has submitted their life to this and the King. It's the only way that we're going to make a difference in this world. And it's such a privilege. I know I speak for Esther as well as myself. It's such a privilege to be in this position, to work with each and every one of your kids and encourage them and coach them in any way that we can, from Sunday school all the way through and on up through. It's an amazing blessing, and we don't take it, I can speak for the four of us, none of us take this lightly at all. This is such a tremendous responsibility. I'll just share quickly as I end here a personal story of why we decided to do this in the first place. And Pastor Josh approached me and Esther about taking over this position last December. And I have to be honest, it wasn't something that was on my radar. We are very busy at that time. We had our own business and we were basically struggling to stay above water as it was. And Pastor Josh asked us to take this on. And I was like, oh. I looked at Esther and I was like, well, that was not something I was expecting. And I even remember sitting at the couch and Elaine looking at us like, you guys okay? And she was like, so it went from just like in my mind to like obviously was on my face of like, what? But as we were praying about it and as we were talking about it, I got a phone call from my sister. And it was a phone call that I never expected to get. But it was that my nephew was being checked into rehab. My 18-year-old nephew is being checked into rehab for doing something with substances that I didn't even know that you could do. And I remember getting off that phone call, and I remember I was on my way back from Lancaster from work in my truck, and I hung up the phone, and I said, "How stupid are you talking to the devil?" I said, "How dumb can you be? I know the power that can change his life. I know the things that I've been set free of, and we're being commissioned to take over a role where we can help implement that to dozens of kids. How dumb are you?" And it was immediately in that moment I said, "Yep." Like, I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it sounds like. I don't care what we have to do. Yes. And that's what set us on this path of coaching. And we buy into each and every one of your kids' lives. I just want you to know that. That is, if nothing else, we're here to help coach them. But we've bought into each and every one of your kids' lives. That's a part of our group. We stand with them. And we're just going to keep harping on identity. We're going to keep telling them the truth. We're going to keep on the path of the straight and narrow. There's a loud voice out there. Like my wife said, there's a loud voice out there. But in Psalm 23, and this, I promise, will be the last thing I say. Sorry. It's funny that Finley chose Psalm 23 because it's a psalm that's always been dear to my heart. And we hear it at funerals, right? The Lord is my shepherd. But there's one line that really, for me, has been something that I'm learning to walk through of holding on to the faith in the midst of the storm, right? The last time I preached here, I talked about that, about how there's a peace that passes all understanding. But there's a line in that says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." It doesn't say he takes you out of that place. It says he shows up in it. And he prepares a table for fellowship with you in the presence of everything that's going on around you. He comes and he flips open the table and he sits down. And he says, "Let's eat, man. Let's fellowship, me and you." And it's our choice whether we sit down at that table, but it's also our choice who else we invite to that table. And so, I guess as a good godly man once said, that's all I have to say about that.
Thank you. Praise God. Just have all of our kids, why don't you guys all stand up? Any other kids out there, why don't you just join us in the front? We just want to pray. Parents, you're welcome to come up as well and join us. Lay hands on your kids. Thank you, Jesus. Sure, let's have the youth too. Bring everybody. It's a funny thing growing up in the church. Some people believe that, oh, you grow up in the church, eventually, you know, kids go off to college or they go where they go and they fall away for a while and then come back. But that doesn't have to be the way it happens. There doesn't have to be any falling away. There doesn't have to be any rejoining because they never have to leave. So let's just believe for that this morning. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for each and every child, every family, Lord, that's represented here this morning. Father, we understand that we're all your children, Lord Jesus. Before they were any of our ideas, Father, they were your idea. You had them in mind. You had a plan for them, Lord, and a purpose, as was so wonderfully shared here this morning by one of our children. Father, we understand that your plans are better than ours. Your ways better than ours, Lord. So we just give up our own expectations, Father, and we just look to your expectations, Lord, for these children. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that, as Esther shared, that voice that's loud at times would just be quieted, Lord Jesus. And your still small voice would become the one that's loud, Lord Jesus, in their ears. Lord, let your voice overtake the voice of the world, Lord Jesus. They can be loud, but it's all lies, Father. We know that you're the truth. So, Father, continue, Lord, to show us, Lord, the true identity of these children, Lord, that they were made in your image, that they are made perfect, righteous, Lord, by faith. They can do all things, Lord Jesus, through your strength and through your power, Lord Jesus. Lord, that you would just begin, Lord, to reveal to them the gifts, Lord, the talents that you've given to them for your kingdom, Lord, for their individual ministries, Lord Jesus. Even at this age, Lord, there's nothing too small, there's nothing too big, Lord. Let them begin to make their own plans, Lord Jesus, about the calls that you've given to them. Father, show us how we can support as a church, as a parents, as families, Lord Jesus, how we can coach and bring them up along the way, Lord. Let us never be a people, Lord, to just push them off, but rather to bring them up higher to a new place, to show them a new thing, Lord, to teach them a new skill, Lord Jesus. Show them a new verse, Lord, in the word that they hadn't heard before, or a new revelation, Lord, that hasn't been brought to them before. Lord, let us include them in every aspect of our walk, Lord Jesus, secluding them from nothing, Lord Jesus. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you're going to keep them. You're going to protect them, Lord. Protect their eyes, their ears, Lord Jesus. The things that they touch, Lord, the things that would come across the screen, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for protecting them, Lord, and your hand upon them, Lord Jesus. Help us to be wise, Lord, as parents, Lord, about what they're doing, about who they're going to see, about what they're doing online, Father God. Help us to be wise, Lord, as parents, and not take anything for granted, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that as we mentioned, Lord, they have time on their side, but we also know that time could be short, Lord Jesus. So let's make the most of the time that we have here. That there would be a boldness upon their lives, Lord, not being afraid to speak, Lord, to speak in front of people, Lord, as was done this morning, to speak to a friend about the truth that they know, Lord. Even to speak to their own family, Lord, about the truth that they know. Father, we thank you for boldness just coming upon them now, Lord Jesus, and sensitivity, Lord, about the things of this gospel, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for them, for health upon them, Lord Jesus, and their families. Let there just be no distractions, Lord, in their life to take them away from their sight that's upon you, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for all these things, for what you're doing. So precious, Lord Jesus. So wonderful, Lord Jesus. In your precious name. Amen. We'll be right back.